Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. 844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call up. Let me just mention to you that it is a great time to be thinking about partnering with the ministry. I hope you'll do that. It's critically important. We've got a lot of things going on. I know it is going to be beneficial to you. And I want to mention to all of you that are already partners, I'm going to be sending you an alert out tomorrow, Friday morning, indicating that there is a conference call on the call-in conference call line. There's going to be a conference call posted. This is a conference call without a call. I did it one other time. It's a conference call without a call. So we're not going to have a call. We're just going to have a conference call. But we're not going to have any callers because we're not going to be on a call. Okay, so I've got the reason was you might remember I said yesterday, I've been saying this week that I'm probably going to have another conference call this week because I feel a need to, and there is a need to. I want to, again, continue to lay out. I've really tried. I'm not doing an awesome job or anything. I'm plugging along doing okay, but I'm trying to keep you as informed as I can about the process and how the process is going and what we're doing through this process, what I am thinking, some of the indicators that have gotten stronger, some of the indicators that have gotten weaker, some of my concerns that were flashing yellow, some of my concerns that are green keep going, and some that may be red. And so I'm going to talk about where we are in some of those concerns and some of those things. So we're going to talk about those things. And I think that there's enough data out there right now that has come out that I think I have a need to just kind of give you an update of what I've been thinking and what I've been going through. So I have a list, and we're going to do that. So I'll go through it. I'm going to do it on a conference call, but there's not going to be a conference call. I'm just going to gather the data. I'm going to record it. It's not going to be long. It's probably going to be, I don't know, but it's not going to be an hour and a half or an hour. It's going to be probably 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, and I'll go through that. And I'm going to ask all of you, by way of an alert, you'll get the alert as soon as it's posted, and you're going to get that alert. And between now and the end of the weekend, you'll have it there to be able to listen to it. So that's the idea, and we're going to do that as we get a little bit closer to what is happening with the markets. And so I'm going to wait. I'm waiting for one thing today. I'll have all that I need to do that by the end of the day. So either tomorrow or Friday, we'll get that up there so you have the weekend to be able to listen to it. I talked about housing prices. The prices of a home have slowed. This is based on a 20-city chart decline. Listen, housing is always very localized. It's hard to give national numbers. They take 20 cities, they come up with averages, but you may be very, very different than the average one way or another. It is a very localized thing. You know, it's people ask me about selling their house or buying a house, and they live in, you know, some little town in, you know, some obscure place. And, you know, it really depends. And most of the time, you know those markets better than anybody else is going to know outside of that market. So it is very localized. But the fact of the matter is, home prices have slowed down. Not that they're not going up, but they are going up at a slower pace. As a matter of fact, a 6.5-year low pace. They are going up at a much slower pace. Now, at the very same time, we are seeing mortgage rates, 30-year mortgage rates being very, very good right now, and as good as they've been in a couple of years, maybe even get a little bit better. Because I would suspect that if we continue with this low yield that we have on the 10-year, which we have right now, I would suspect that we are going to see a very good mortgage rate. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Federal Reserve cutting rates sooner rather than later. And I am hoping right now that Jerome Powell is not sitting back taking a let's be patient, wait and see. Do we have to wait and see for a little while? Yes, we do, and we should, because it might just be something as simple as a trade deal getting done with China to pick up the 10-year yield again. It may only be something like that. This may be very transitory, and I'm sure they're going to be patient, but they've got to be prepared to cut rates if necessary. And I hope that they will think about it. This notion that we have the Fed rate the same as the 10-year yield is a little ridiculous, and we've got to fix that. Now, maybe it'll fix itself, and we'll see. But we need to watch that. We have a current deficit rose 6.2%. This is for the fourth quarter. So it was up again. This is for the fourth quarter. So it was up 6.2%. So we'll watch that. I also want to mention, as we come along our ag report here, that oil commodities as a commodities are at $59.94. They were up a little higher. They're down. They're still positive over yesterday. So we'll see where oil ends up here at the day, but it looks like it's rising. Here comes Craig Hagar with our ag report, and we'll be back right after that.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market was lower yesterday on profit-taking ahead of Friday's USDA planted acres projection report. The market continues to remain range-bound, with most contracts trading in a 4-cent trading range yesterday. For the time being, the potential for acres switching from corn to soybeans as a result of a late spring don't seem to be capturing the trade's attention, but I don't believe we've heard the last of that concern. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny and a half lower. The bean market traded lower on technical selling and fears of a large soybean supply. I spent much of yesterday in meetings discussing the Chinese situation. Thus far, the swine fever has removed the number of hogs in China that would be the equivalent of the annual production of Canada, the U.S., Mexico, and Brazil. Even if we reach a trade deal with China, I don't believe it's going to be enough to offset this demand reduction. If you're going to be planting soybeans this spring and have not started executing a marketing plan, I'd be very concerned. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down 2 cents. The wheat markets had a negative tone across the board yesterday, with all contracts finishing the day lower. If you are looking for a ray of hope, it was encouraging to see the U.S. capture some Egyptian business in the soft red winter wheat market. In the overnight trade, Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis are all trading unchanged. Cotton futures eked out a higher close, with the May futures up 16 points to close at $77.89. In the overnight trade, however, spot futures are trading 35 points lower as I record this. Cattle futures had a mixed day yesterday, while lean hogs continued to ride the rocket ship higher. For the session, April live cattle were down 67.5 cents per hundredweight, while April feeder cattle finished the session 2.5 cents higher. Lean hogs had another strong session, with April lean hogs $1.75 higher for the day. April Class 3 milk futures enjoyed another good day. For the session, April futures were up 13 points as they closed at 15.62. In the overnight trade, they're just trading 2 points lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 51 cents higher at $229.51, while selects were up 26 cents to settle at $218.99. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 87 cents higher for the day as they settled out at $81.07. This has been Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more Financial Issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. We're going to go to phones. We've got one line open. So if you want to queue your call up, you can do that. Let me go to Charlie. Charlie's calling us from Texas. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question with a company I've been doing just some IRA work with. They guarantee a 4.5% return.
Okay.
It's Royal Neighbors of America. Are you familiar with them? Are they a legitimate?
Oh, I mean, it sounds like a fixed annuity. It's an insurance company. It's an insurance company. So, you know, it's not an investment. I would ask you this to ask them. I would say, because right now you perceive this like somebody would perceive it as a CD, where you're going to put $10,000 in and you're going to get 4.5% on that $10,000 this year. And then next year, you will get 4.5% on the new principal, you know, with the interest. So it's going to be compounded on that and so on and so forth. And that's likely how you perceive it. So I would ask them if they would put it in writing that you're going to get 4.5% on compounded every year on your principal. And
okay. And
if they put it in writing, I would do it. I say that because they're not going to put it in writing, because I know that's not what they mean. That's what they mean to say to try to sell it. That's not what they mean to really do. If they say they can't put it in writing, it's because it's not true, not because there's some compliance reason. Compliance doesn't have a problem with an insurance company putting anything in writing that's true. They only have a problem with putting anything in writing that is speculative or an assumption. So I would just make sure that you're thinking clearly. So I don't want you to put $10,000 in this and get 4.5%, but you're getting 4.5% on $9,200 because the account's gone down. So, yes, well, we're going to guarantee you 4.5%. Yeah, but I didn't know my principal was going to change. And so, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, 4.5% is great, assuming that it's going to get compounded on your principal. Now, just to put things in perspective, no one in the world can guarantee your principal is never going to go down and you're going to get 4.5%, because there's no such product that exists. There's no investment. Now, maybe they could put you in a 30-year bond. Let me just think. A 30-year a bond in Spain, a 30-year Spanish government bond, and you could probably get 4.5%. But, you know, are you going to stay for 30 years? That's the question, and hold it to maturity, and there's not going to be any real fluctuations. So, you know, insurance companies don't have any special kind of, you know, investment strategies that they have special privilege to that nobody else has. And 4.5% is, I'm not saying you can't get 4.5. I would submit to you that you could get 5.5. But not without risk. So, you could design a income portfolio that's going to generate you 5.5% fairly easily, but you'd have to understand that your principal could move down. It could move up too. In other words, it's going to be volatile. It's going to move up and down, But in the meantime, you'll get 5.5%, but not with guarantees.
Okay.
So that's all.
Are you?
So I just give you that caution so that you can talk to them and make sure you understand it correctly.
Okay. Are you familiar with this company?
Yes. Yes.
And that's why you questioned the...
Well, no, it isn't really. I wish it were, because I question every insurance company, because they all have issues with selling practices. And selling practices are not necessarily the way things end up. And I tell people all the time, I don't necessarily have a problem with annuity products in general. I only have problems with the way they're sold. So if people truly understand what the fees are that are coming out, what the risks are that could happen, and they go into it with open eyes, and they realize that the guarantee is either not a guarantee at all, or it's a guarantee interest, but it's not a guarantee that their principal's not going to go down, you know, then and be volatile, then, you know, I would be okay with that too. But I just don't appreciate the fact that there are people that buy into these products that are thinking they're getting one thing and they end up getting something else. And that's what I have an issue with. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Question. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. I'm glad you called. God bless. Thanks. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Daniel in Tennessee. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
All right, I got one question for you.
Okay.
So I'm 24 years old, and I live in Tennessee.
Okay.
I make about $40,000 a year.
Okay.
So my company offers a Roth 401k and a traditional 401k, and they match 8% of it, which is obviously pretty good from what I've heard.
Yeah.
So I've always heard that was, depending how much tax you're paying a year, what you should do. So I'm kind of curious as to what should I do, a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k?
I would only do a Roth. Now, let me ask you this, though, Daniel. Do you know, are they matching in the Roth, too?
Yeah, they match.
Okay.
From what I've heard, 8% all the way around for both.
Yeah, look, I would only do a Roth. The tax benefits that you receive today if you use a traditional I don't want to say they're not going to benefit you. Yes, they would benefit you a little bit, but the long-term benefit of the Roth far outweighs the benefit that you're getting by doing a traditional. So let me just explain it to you and people listening, just so you know. I want you to understand it. So if you go into a traditional IRA and you put $100 a month in that traditional IRA, that is going, when you look at your check, you're going to say, wait a minute, I thought I was putting $100 a month in, and I'm only seeing $98 going in. I thought I was putting $100. You go back and you look and say, yeah, $100 went in. But it only feels like $98. And I'm making these numbers up, of course. But
right.
And it's because they put the $100 in before your pay is taxed, payroll taxes. So your payroll taxes, your tax on your pay goes down because it's only getting calculated on $100 less than what your normal pay is, which makes it seem like your contribution is actually net to you a little bit less than is actually going in. And that is the tax benefit. The problem is way down the road when you take that money out, it's all taxed to you as income. When you least, the time when you don't want to pay taxes. So you're retired, but now you got to pay income tax on this money because you've never paid income tax on it. It's always come out of your pay before they took tax out. So now all of the growth, when it gains money and all of the growth and all of the money you put in and they put in match, is taxable to you as income. In the Roth, grows tax-free. So you put $100 in, and it's going to feel like $100 because it comes out of your pay after they calculate the tax. But if it grows to $150, all that's going to be tax-free. You're never going to be taxed on any of that. They're never going to tell you when you have to take it out. It goes to your heirs someday. If you do this now, by the time you retire, you're going to have $1 million or more. You're probably more. That's all going to go to your heirs, your children, your grand, whoever goes to tax-free. There's never going to be any tax on it. So the benefits of the Roth in the long run far outweigh. Now, if you're getting to the point where you're making $300,000 a year, then that pre-tax benefit of putting, you know, $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year into your 401k, now that starts to have some real consequence for you today. But I don't think it matters that much.
Okay. I sure appreciate it.
All right, Daniel. Thank you. I'm glad you called.
Thank you.
Yep. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Great stuff. I love calls like that because it helps everybody kind of get a picture and learn what that's all about. And so if you're young and you're worrying about tax benefits when you're young, and, you know, Daniel's doing pretty good. He's making, I think he's making pretty good money, for his age, he's doing great, and that's all good stuff. But, you know, I would forego a little bit of tax benefit when I don't really need it. Like, I don't care that much. It's not that big of a deal. I would forego some of that for the tax benefit when you really want to have a tax benefit. It's hard to think like that when you're 25 years old. You're not thinking about when you're, 65, what that's going to be like. So good stuff. All right, 844-707-5533, and we do have lines open. We'll get back to phones right after this break. In the meantime, the indices have kind of been all over the place. Right now, we're getting back close to where we were at the open, so everything's positive. So we'll see. We'll see if that continues. All right, you're listening to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Seely. It is great to be here. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, Financial Issues. Great to be here. Let me go back to phones. Let me go to Ron. Ron's calling us from Georgia. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much for taking my call this morning.
Yes.
I'm here with a friend of mine, and she's a little bit skittish about investing in the market.
Uh-huh.
Currently, we have her 30% in the market and 30% in bonds and income funds. We also have 40% of her money in a money market fund, which I know we need to move. Would you recommend that we put the entire 40% into your one preferred stock that you have on the buy list? Would that be a good maneuver?
No. No, I wouldn't want you to. I would be okay with you putting some of it in there. You said she has some in bonds. Are they bond? Yeah. Are they bond mutual funds, or are they individual bonds?
They're mutual funds.
Yeah,
we have some mutual funds in bonds and in an income portfolio. I could give you the ticker symbol on these, But
the bond, are they off my list? They're not off my list.
They are not. Sir.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of bond funds. So I would just throw that out there as a word of caution. That's why I asked that. I'm not a fan of bond funds. And I would suspect, I don't know this, but I would suspect those bond funds, she's in those because they're perceived as safety. And if you look at that safety and how it's gone in the last few weeks, it hasn't gone so well. So I don't know. I don't feel good now. I've been kind of down on bond mutual funds now for a couple of years because I think there's way too many issues, debt issues with bond mutual funds. I'm not a big fan. So I would probably take a good look at that. I would definitely take some of this money and no more than 10% of it and put it into this preferred. I would be okay with it. But I would like to see the balance of the money to be diversified, maybe in another preferred, a different kind of preferred, and then that's on the list, or a utility stock that may be paying good income. Now, that's going to be volatile. Yes, it could go down. The value of the stock could go down, or the value of the stock could go up considerably as well. But I would rather see if she's doing it for income, then I would rather see her be a bit diversified. There is a utility stock on my list. Again, it's a stock. It could be a little volatile, but it's up 21% on the year. So that's the kind of volatility you like. And you're getting your 5% income. So now I'm not saying that because I think it's going to continue to go up another 21%. No, probably not going to happen. But I'm just saying that if you would have asked me about it on January 1st or 2nd, I would have said the same thing. Well, it could go up, could go down, but it could. In this case, it happens that it's gone up. It's still on my buy list, even though it is up 21% on the year, because it's an income stock, and I'm looking at this as an opportunity, you know, for income. So I would want it diversified even amongst the preferreds and other income stocks.
All right. Could you possibly give me a utility stock? I mean, I know you can't give me the stock itself, but I am a member, so I can look it up.
Yeah. So I would look on utilities. I would just look at my buy list. I only have. I'm trying to find it myself here, but I only have maybe two on on my buy list. But let me.
That's okay. That's fine.
I have six on my list. Okay. I did add some on my buy list, but I would look at UT42 is the one I was just talking about that is up. You know, considerably for the year, still on my buy list. I think it still has great potential. UT35 is one that I just put on my buy list on Monday, and same with UT45. So I would just look at those and see that would be a great place to start. I would also consider some of the REITs, the real estate investment trust. I don't, there may be, you know, that might be another option. Again, they're risky. I mean, you've got to really be, you're a partner. So you've heard my story about, you know, if you're investing for income, you've got to really be focused, you know, on the income, meaning that you've got to have an attitude that if it goes down, you're not going to panic. You know, you're not going to be all that concerned. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be saying, I'm doing this for income. My income is still coming. I know it's down and I'm down, you know, overall, but at the same time, it's okay because, I'm okay in the sense that I'm getting my income and that's what I'm doing it for. So I'm not going to worry about it. It'll come back up. I only have one REIT on the list that is there. The income is a little bit high. It's 12%. So it pays a very good income. It's FR37, but I don't think that's going to hold too much longer, the 12%, but but it doesn't matter. Even if it gets cut in half, it's still going to be great income. But it's a small cap, so it's a little bit more volatile up and down, but that might be another option as well.
Okay. And you only have one preferred stock.
I do, yeah. Yeah, I do. I only have one preferred on there, and I'm, you know, looking. I would suspect I've got a couple new ones that have not been on my buy list yet that I'm looking at that could even get on this week. But, you know, I would hold off. That's why one of the things you can do is go ahead and, you know, put some money in that one preferred, which is good. It's solid. And I believe it's below par value right now. But
yes, sir.
There's another one that is FP43 that is not on my buy list, pays a good dividend, but I've got to check out some next call dates on two of those, and I'm looking at those right now. FP41 is another one. So they may get added. I'm just waiting for them to release that information. So
okay.
There are a couple things that I'm looking at. You know, there's a lot of preferreds that are jumping over the par value. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at my entire list right now, and there's only there's two on my list that are below par value. Everything else is either at par or above par. So, you know, and that's what happens when things get a little nerve-wracking in the markets. Preferreds aren't the first option for a flight to safety. People go to that for some safety, but they do enter into that equation, and they have entered into that. So, you know, that's what we're seeing right now. That's why the prices are up a bit.
Okay. Could I ask you one last
sure.
question real quick? I currently own, excuse me, one of the preferreds that's no longer on your buy list. And its par value or its stock price is higher than what I paid for it. Would you recommend that I sell that one and buy the one that is on your buy list?
No, or, not really. No, I wouldn't. I'm okay with you keeping it. I'm still tracking it. Because here's why I say that to you. If you went to sell it, Ron, you probably wouldn't get the price you're looking at.
Oh, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to give you another price. And it's probably wouldn't be worth doing it. I would just keep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I'm sorry. I get a little frog in my tongue.
Oh, that's okay. All right, Ron. Well, I'm glad you called. Thank you for that. I hope that's helped.
That's great help. Thank you so much, Mr.
You're
Have
welcome.
A blessed day.
All right. Thanks, Ron. God bless. 844-707-5533. We got a line open now, so you can cue that up. 844-707-5533. You know, we don't have a big broad, I'll tell you, we don't have a big buy list, folks. I just looking at the buy list across the board. I mean, it's not, you know, 2009 size where it was maybe 8 or 10. But nonetheless, you know, it's down. There's some wait and see mentality on some of these things that we're watching, some of the things that we're looking for. And you couple that on top of having a very good first half of the year, and that's added to that. This has been a great, great start of the year in maybe not in the markets, but certainly for partners that weren't in, that got in early. Some of our foundational stocks, just by the nature of them being foundational stocks, haven't had a good start, but I'm not worried about them. They usually come back roaring back like a lion when they do come back. So I feel good about that. And it's a great time to buy. So it's an ideal time to get some of those foundation stocks into your portfolio. All right, 844-707-5533. Folks, we've got an hour and 10 minutes left, hour and 15 minutes left. So cue your call up. Also, Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, hello. Thank you for being with us. Put your question up. We'll get to it. We got to all of them yesterday. We'll get to them today. We'll be right back.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you can do that. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Sharon. Sharon's calling us from New York. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Dan. I do appreciate your program. I'm joined about a year ago and still trying to figure things out. I am using a financial investment service and have gotten the Timothy Plan products. What I'm trying to find out is, since the service that I'm using doesn't do individual stocks, so like I can't go on your buy list and you know get it any of those through them, but they charge about just under 1% for the funds I have with Timothy Plan. And is it possible or advisable? Would I be better? Can I just go through Timothy rather than going through the investment service that then goes through Timothy?
I would, yes.
Okay, so you can do that.
Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can go directly to Timothy. And if you, okay. And you know, it won't change anything that you already have. Do you want their phone number?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's 800-846-7526.
Okay. And as far as getting individual stocks, like, would it be advisable? I do have some product with Vanguard, which I'm trying to look into and seeing actually what those are investing in. But do they... Could I go with individual stocks through them?
You can. Vanguard has a brokerage, it's called, a brokerage platform. It's so you're probably with Vanguard on the mutual fund side, but they have the ability to for you to have that account over at their brokerage side, which would allow you to buy individual stocks.
Okay. And they still charge a very low amount.
I believe, you know what, Vanguard's not one I'm real sure about, but I believe that they're at, like, I think they're a discount, that brokerage is considered a discount brokerage, like a Schwab or Fidelity, which is, you know, $4.95, something like that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Sharon. Thank you. I'm glad you're a partner. It's great to have somebody from up in New York. Used to be very, very prominent up there in New York many years ago, as where I started with the program some 23 years ago was up in that area. So it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you called.
I'm glad to find you on the station. And I've been telling other people about them, trying to make them more aware of what they're actually invested in, because people don't know.
No, they don't. They don't. And you keep doing that. That's a wonderful advocacy to have, and I hope you'll keep doing that. It is a blessing. So thank you for that.
Amen.
All right.
God bless you.
All right, Sharon. God bless. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Bill. Bill's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
I'm doing okay.
Very good. I love your show. I listen to it daily.
Thank you.
I'm new to the game. I'm 58 years old. I got 10 more years to work.
Okay.
I already have, the wife and I have pensions and 401ks and all kinds of stuff, but I just started a new Roth and E-Trade.
Okay.
And I'm putting in $100 every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I got, since January, so, you know, what do I got, $700 or something.
Right, right.
But I haven't done anything with it. I'm trying to figure out what I should do with it.
Okay.
You know, I'm a partner. I got your buy list and all
okay.
that stuff.
So here's what I would like to see you do, Bill. I would like you to, you know, keep doing that, obviously. And as that accumulates, you could do it now. You could wait, you know, another month if you want. But if you take a look at the asset allocation model for your age, 55 to 65, and it's on the website. I don't know if you've looked at those yet, but.
Yes, I have.
Okay. And it's going to say, you know, different sectors that you ought to have a percentage in. I wouldn't get too hung up on the percentage, but I would take a look at the sectors. And I think that over the next year, 2 years, your goal ought to be to get a couple of stocks or positions, couple of positions in every sector. And the way you would do that is this week or at the end of the month or whenever you do it, you would go and let's say you have $1,000, you have $800, whatever you have. And I would say, you know what, this month I'm going to go to whatever, pick a sector, energy. And I'm going to put $400 in this stock and $400 in that stock. Let it accumulate it again a little bit. We get to that point, do the same thing. Go to now material sector. I'm going to put, you know, 400 here, 400 there, or whatever it is. But I would keep rotating through that like that and continue to do that. When you get to the end, start over again and continue to add. Now, I don't want you to have more than four or five positions in any one sector. So you don't need to keep doing it to where, you know, all of a sudden you got 30 different stocks 5 years from now in one sector. I don't want you to do that. I want you to just, once you get to three or four, then add to the ones you have. And you would add to them by buying the ones that are down. So you might have some that are lower than what you purchased at it or just down for the year, whatever it might be. And you want to maybe add a little bit to that one, a little bit to another, and then just keep rotating through. And you'll build yourself a really nice portfolio by doing that.
That's your dollar cost averaging?
Yes. Yep. So you're constantly dollar cost averaging.
Okay. So one other thing is I think it's $6.50 or $7 to buy, do a trade on E-Trade.
Okay.
That's the one I have anyways. It's a Roth.
Right.
But it's a Roth brokerage. But anyways, so does that mean that if I've spent $400, is that one $7 fee?
Yes.
Okay.
If you spend $4,000, it's still $7.
Okay.
So it doesn't, and if you spend $40, it's going to be $7. So it's a fixed fee, and that's what they're going to charge you. So for every stock you buy, you're going to get charged that. And that's annoying because you're thinking, well, you know, maybe I should just wait. And instead of putting 400 in one or 400 in another, I'll just put 800 in one because it'll save me $7 down the road. There may be some merit to that, but I'd rather see you build diversification. And the hope is that in a couple of years, that $7 is going to be meaningless.
And just stay on your buy list.
Don't go off the buy list. If you say I'm going to move to this sector and I don't have anything on my buy list on that sector, skip it and move on to another one.
To a different
sector. Yep, go to a different sector. Yep.
Well, I really enjoy your show. I listen to it daily. Very good.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that, and I'm excited for you. I'm glad you're doing this.
All right, you have a blessed day.
All right, thank you. God bless. Good stuff. 844-707-5533. I better hold off. We got another hour, folks. So we've got a line open, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. So Bruce on Facebook is asking me about a particular industrial stock, IN38. IN38. And he said, the IN-38 is finally all settled. Now I can move into I can move cash into your stock picks of this year. And then I guess he's just making a comment. He's going to IN-25, perfect timing. Yeah, it is, Bruce. Wow. Every once in a while, you get just perfect timing. Not often, so don't get too excited like it's going to happen all the time. But, yeah, you're right. Good timing on that. It's great. Somebody's asking me about, do I know anything about TL-25? I do. I don't know what you want to know about it. But, yeah, I mean, I know about it. I know it. It is still on my hold list. It is down. I can tell you that. Do I think it's coming back up this year? No, I've been saying all year long, because everybody's asking me about that stock. I had no idea. This is the peril that I face when I put a relatively inexpensive stock on the list. That's why I hate to do it. But everybody buys it without really a lot of thought. But anyway, it's fine. I think it'll be fine. If you own it, I would keep it. Is it going to have any kind of great run-up this year? Nope, it is not. Don't even count on it. But keep moving forward on your portfolio, adding positions, moving on to other sectors. Just leave this in there. I assume you didn't buy it 10 years ago. I assume you bought it 10 months ago, whenever. It's a long-term hold, 10 years. Don't get too caught up in what it's doing right now. All right, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. We'll be right back. We've got another hour left. If you've got to leave us, remember, all that you have is his. Let's be a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless. More Financial Issues right after this break.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.